Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast, guys. I sound all horrible because I've got everything congested and fever and drinking champagne on top of it. I have Ron with me. Thank you so much for helping. I had to start with taps and the Lord's Prayer. Thank you, Ron. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. You know, I've seen a lot of long faces today.
Mm-hmm.
Even driving into work, I was noticing it was like something out of a movie almost. Just looking around and seeing the sense of hopelessness on the faces of people surrounding me in traffic. And you know, this, unfortunately, I think, was necessary. And, you know, I talked about it on my show.
Right.
And all jesting aside, everyone thought I was crazy or just joshing around.
No, I understood, but I just didn't know if that was, if it's going to work. Because if they haven't woken up by now and stormed the Bastille, I don't know what the, you know, but maybe you're right. I don't know. Time will tell.
Well, I think, you know, Joe, one of our callers, says,
yes.
I think, unfortunately, I think he's correct. I don't think that the American people, even a small minority, have within them the courage to stand up and do what's right, even in the face of the loss of their own lives, the loss of their livelihoods, their comfort. You know, I've made that analogy countless times to the Israelites and the Exodus from Egypt.
Yes.
I don't see that that's changed.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, here's my take on it, and I took this from two people. One was earlier today when I kind of woke up in my feverish stupor, and I was listening to Mike Slater and then later Glenn Beck, and they both read from Thomas Paine's writings. And Thomas Paine was really cool about saying, did you think this was going to be easy?
Right.
You know, I mean, we've only been at this 4 years in my camp here. Those guys had to do it for 8. I can't even imagine, but I guess I'm going to have to learn because I'm not giving up. I'm just not. That's why I went to the Bible, because I thought, look, this is it. God is waiting for us to be His people, and I don't know how we're going to rally the troops, but we got to figure out a way. And the only thing that I did agree with Glenn on is, he says, your actions speak louder than your words. And if you do not reach out to the other side and you don't show them who you are inside, you know, we're going to lose it all the way out.
Right. And the thing is, you know, I've talked about this before. It's not about reaching out with anger and venom.
Right.
It's about reaching out with compassion and understanding. And that's got to be the single most difficult thing to do. Our human nature You know, you just want to reach over there and beat the living snot out of somebody.
To try to get their attention.
Right. But, you know, you can't. Look, fundamentally, the idea of liberty, the idea of individual freedom,
mm-hmm.
is the rejection of the use of force.
I know.
Whether it is for religious ideology or mm-hmm. political ideology or personal beliefs and morals, the use of force is absolutely 100% against
what God preaches.
Right. It's the opposite
antithesis
of the idea of liberty.
Exactly. And the people who, let's go back in history and look at the people who've used brute force. I mean, let's face it, these guys had no connection to a deity or anything we recognize as our deity.
Well, certainly,
you know,
exactly.
Like Stalin and Genghis Khan, good grief. Pol Pot, you name it. I mean, that was, I cringe. But it's going to happen again.
Look at the comparison, okay? Let's look at the comparison for a moment in honest terms. From where I sit, and I've been trying to figure out a way to politely tell people this for a couple of years, and I think I've failed at that, but I'm going to redouble my efforts. If we look at the two parties, okay, within our two-party system, everything that a quote-unquote conservative Republican despises about the Democrat Party or the liberal progressives is that they believe that they have the right
mm-hmm.
to force you to do something.
Yeah, ABC,
against
whatever.
Against your will, right? But if we look at the Republican ideology as a whole, they believe the same thing, just in a different way.
Uh-huh.
How is that so? Well, we're very adamant against abortion, very adamant against homosexuals and homosexual marriage. Those two issues, while I understand from a moral standpoint, they're important, but they may not be important to everyone. And so the conservatives use the same tactics of force against the opposition that the opposition uses against them.
For them, it's all a game. It's a theater of war within their own, you know, chambers. It's
certainly
stupid.
And neither side likes the oppression and the use of force when it's used against them, but they don't mind using it against their enemy.
You know what it is? They cannot get along in the sandbox. They're all like five-year-olds. I can't believe it. It's just, it's crazy. And we're watching this theater, and the media is so, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care if it's Fox News, CNN, you can name it, all the way down, all the alphabet soups. These people are not journalists. They're propagandists. They have no loyalty to the American people. They are Quisling traitors.
Thank you.
End of story.
Look, the thing is, the media plays up the narrative, okay? The media plays the narrative, and of course we have two sides in the media, presumably, or at least that's what's presented. We have Fox News, right? Fair and balanced. But of course, the left-leaning progressives always accuse Fox News of being right-wing, and Fox News and neoconservative group, they always accuse the rest of the media of being left-leaning. Well, here's the problem. They control the narrative. They have the American populace talking about the issues of welfare, social services, abortion.
Right. Pot,
and
marijuana.
And, yeah, right. Drug use, you know, should it be or shouldn't it be?
Oh, Lord.
Okay. You know, being a female yourself, how important is the abortion issue to you? Are you planning on having an abortion personally?
No, I'm way too old to even conceive, so that's not
right.
My purview.
Right. So from that from that stance, okay, as a female, I can understand that you would have a moral aversion to another woman having an abortion. I get that. But how can you stand on the principle of liberty and individual freedom?
I know where you're going. Yeah.
And dictate to your next door neighbor what she can do with her own body.
Doesn't mean
you have to agree with it.
I don't have to approve of it. Yes.
Right.
I don't have
doesn't mean you condone it. Doesn't mean you approve of it. Doesn't mean you support it. But aren't there bigger issues if we're going to look at the collective as a whole, to bring the idea of liberty to everyone as much as possible? Shouldn't we step aside from, dare I say, petty issues? They're not petty on the morality scale. They're very high. But that's an individual responsibility.
Right.
Okay.
No, we've
we should be counseling to these folks. We should be reaching out to them in love and not in hatred and not trying, you know, just as hard as they try to force their ideology on the one side, the other side tries to force their ideology, and you end up with this huge division.
And then you have a war, and that's how wars start. I mean, it's just so petty.
And
you're not going to get anywhere without the sugar-coated honey, because if you go at them with knives and arrows, they're going to, of course, they're going to rebuke you, because, you know, they don't want to have force on either side, and rightfully so.
Yeah,
you know,
and this is exactly the argument that has been made time and time again against someone like Ron Paul. Okay, and the obvious is, look, guys, you can talk about abortion, you can talk about homosexual marriage, but what you ought to be talking about is what impacts all of us equally, regardless of sexual persuasion, political persuasion, religious persuasion, individually as human beings, the impact. And the other thing is that somewhere along the line, government fell under the delusion that all money belongs to government.
And
it does in America as well, because your government, you look at how the politicians behave.
They don't
spend the money up there as if it's your money and they need to be frugal and do a cost benefit analysis and spend it wisely. No, ma'am, they believe it all belongs to them, and you, well, you're just a greedy little pig, because you want to hold on to your money when there are people in need. There are needy people out there, and you don't need that money. You have more than enough to live, and it's up to us to figure out how much to give to these other people. You know, Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton, they didn't agree on a whole lot of anything. Privately, much less publicly.
Right.
But one of the things that both Hamilton and Jefferson agreed upon, which is something that Jefferson penned, and that was, when the public realizes that they can write themselves a paycheck from the public treasury, we're done.
Oh, yeah, and they've been doing it and I think that most of these entitlement programs, if you look at the scope of things, I mean, the huge ones, and I'm not discounting Woodrow Wilson and the evil ones at Jekyll Island, because that was played a big part of it. But FDR, man, he was throwing stuff around forever, and then everybody followed suit, you know, with the Social Security and all the rest of it. It's just a huge mistake.
Absolutely. But I will, to my dying day, I'm going to sit here and tell anybody that'll listen, were it not for Abraham Lincoln, he paved the road for Woodrow Wilson, Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, and FDR to follow, and LBJ.
Yep.
Okay, and I'm not,
and
don't think I'm letting any of the Republicans off the hook.
Oh no,
you know, all the Republicans, the deity of the Republicans, which is Ronald Reagan, grew the size of government exponentially.
It did. Well, you know, when you look at places like Venezuela or the old Soviet or even still today, I don't know how they're doing over there because it's not in the news, but under Putin, I would imagine not very great. You know, look what we have in our media here. We don't even have to travel to Venezuela because we have a state-run media, as far as I'm concerned, right now.
Well, I think Russia has a better media than we do at this point, at least the RT, Russian Times.
Got it. Yeah.
Look, they report truth when nobody else is willing to do so. And as much as people might hate them just because of the name, Al Jazeera is another outlet where you can get some serious news from. I always look at the whole Islamic world with a jaundiced eye.
Sure.
But you can't discount truth wherever you find it.
Exactly. No, it doesn't matter where it's going to come from because the truth has no agenda. It just is. It stands in the blaze of fire from God, if you will.
I just happened to, when I went, I was late getting my lunch this afternoon, and it was one of the rare occasions that I actually went to a local establishment to get something for lunch. But long story short, I caught a little bit of Rush Limbaugh on the radio. And he said what nobody else was saying. And, you know, as much as I dislike Hannity and a lot of the talking heads, you know, there's a reason that Rush Limbaugh is the man.
Yeah, and he's got about 22 million listeners.
he said it absolutely as plain as day. And what he said was, look, folks, the cold, hard reality is we were outnumbered.
Yep. That's
there
true.
There are more people
in the wagon than the ones pulling it in the
wagon. Exactly. He said we were simply outnumbered, and that's the cold, hard truth of it. And you better get used to it.
Oh, it's terrifying. I mean, I guess the question, of course, now is on everybody's minds. What do we do from here? And I mean, I'm thinking outside the box, hopefully, you know, that we do what we have been with malice towards none. But, you know, I do also believe in preparing quite heavily.
Sure. Absolutely. And you know, I've tried to prepare. You know that. Everyone knows that. I don't make it a secret. But, you know, when we talk about what should we do, I personally believe that what we should do is to begin to promote every opportunity that we can non-compliance.
Sure.
I mean, you have to sit and ask. You know, I hear people complain all the time. my store manager was beside himself today, and I said, you know, I don't know what you guys are complaining about. Did you go vote? And he said, absolutely. I voted for Mitt Romney. I said, so you consented to the outcome of this asinine system.
Theater.
And the fact of the matter is that whether you got Romney or Obama, nothing's going to change. The only thing that would have changed if Mitt Romney had won the election, the only thing that would have changed is people's perception. But we're only looking at half of the equation because everyone's perception would change. All the folks that are in the quote-unquote conservative camp, their perception would have changed that, oh, things are going to get better. But you're only looking at half the population. The other half would have looked at it as, oh, crap, the gravy train just left the station. And all this stuff about riots and everything else, mm-hmm. As much as people say, I don't believe that. I think they're just floating. No, you better believe it, because those people, honest to God, were truly scared to death that all of their government benefits and programs and money was going to come to an end.
Exactly.
They were terrified.
Yep, because that's what they've been told. They've been lied to for so long. They believe
it. Now, let me tell you the difference. Let me tell you the difference between that side and the other side.
Okay.
That side was willing to go out and protest violently. They were willing to go out and riot and loot and
yep.
burn. Okay? And you know what? The other side was like, well, we'll just sit here and rub our hands and go, golly gee, you know, well, 4 more years. Who are we looking at in 4 years?
We can
still salvage this, you know. No, guys, you got to understand. You're on the USS frickin' Titanic.
Yep.
And the crew has abandoned ship. Okay?
Yeah, they have. Well, all right. This, to me, what matters is the Declaration of Independence and that idea and what God tells us. I don't care what chapter you read out of, we must get back to the roots and how the divinely inspired words were written. If we don't, we are lost. I mean, what say you?
Well, I say, you know, if we want to take a more biblical theme on things, if you look through the history in the Bible, God very frequently used really terrible times to provide motivation for people to correct the error.
Oh, he's
of their
kicking
way.
Our backsides right now. Oh.
But I have to believe and I have to look at, you know what? In the grand scheme of things, I think it's rather gentle. It's a gentle prodding. We're not quite to the point of snatching you up by the hair of your head and jack slapping you across the face and saying, wake up, you retard. What the hell is wrong with you? You ignorant bastard. Can you not see? This is just a little nudge. There's already a large contingent of our population
mm-hmm.
that has their eyes open. There are many that are in patriot families. There are many that are in the Tea Party.
Yep.
That while their eyes are open, they still vehemently cling with a death grip to the last vestiges of that neoconservative ideology, that warmongering garbage. Okay?
Yep.
And
are you describing the GOP?
Exactly, and that is precisely why you didn't see more support for a candidate like Ron Paul or a Gary Johnson.
I know. They don't want anything to do with that because they know that their gravy train's over if that happens.
No, you see, because as much as they want personal individual freedom, they don't want the gays to have freedom. They don't want, there's certain segments of society that just repulse them so badly
mm-hmm.
that they overlook the idea of freedom to oppress those people because it's okay, because they don't see it as oppression. They don't
wow.
see it as tyranny. They don't see it as the very same thing they're fighting against. They just can't see it.
I know, they can't see it. It's the allegory of the cave. And I do have Mr. Magic. Welcome, sir.
Good evening, Linda, and welcome, fellow Patriot family members. It has been for some time, and it is still, a sad day in America. Upon listening to Mr. Alex Jones today for just a short while, I happened to catch part of Obama's speech, which literally, put me into shock, made me sick to my stomach, want to throw up.
I haven't heard it.
When Mr. Obama said, gay or straight, we can rebuild America.
What the hell
is this man talking about, Linda? What is he talking about? Is he crazy? Is he mentally insane?
Look, Michael, I've thought about this for a long time. That guy is as straight as Richard Simmons. There is no way you're going to convince me that this guy's straight. I'm sorry. There is no way on this earth. None.
No, I think Ron is correct when he says this is the Lord's way of helping to prod people and help waken up their eyes. You know, I think there is some truth to that, even though the Lord's word does say that as we near the end times, many will fall away. and those people are people that are possessionists, okay? They need to have their little toys. They need to have their TV. They're going to do whatever the government tells them to do because they think the government can't save them. And I'm here to tell you the government cannot and will not save you, okay? There is only one way to be saved. You must be born into the family of God through Jesus Christ,
but
our Lord.
When they talk in secular terms, which they most often do, Reagan did have it right. Government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem. And I agree with him on that because they can be just, you know, anytime you get these overbloated, it is so overbloated and huge. It's dangerous. Come on. Let's get real.
Well,
talk about freedom.
Can anyone tell me, can anyone out there right now, can you tell me what Mitt Romney's platform was? I'm serious. What was his platform?
He probably didn't have one. It was he did do a lot of rhetoric speeching. He did a lot of you know, what do you call it, where you just kind of globally go into his ideas, and they never tell you. They don't tell you what they're going to do. They don't explain to the American people, even though he had 30,000 people in the audience. And I feel bad for him because he thinks that they understand what the hell Greece is going through. He has to explain what Greece is. If he has to have a damn chalkboard like Glenn Beck, then use it. They don't know.
See, this is why. This is one of the reasons why many of the lemmings out there in the audience, when they watched Ron Paul at a debate, went, what? Because he was specific, and he talked about specific issues and specific instances, and then the rest of them would put up all of these minor case issues against what he was saying to try and make him look foolish. But we're talking in broad general terms. We're not talking about an individual case-by-case basis here. But these people are so damned incapable of individual thought, critical thinking. They are absolutely incapable of it.
Oh, I know. And Terry just said something very important about the institution of education. They have been instructed not to think, just like the allegory of the cave. And Glenn touched on this in his show today on the TV portion of his program, that if we don't get these kids that from 18 down, because the 18 to 30 are gone, we can't reach them. Look what they did the other day. We've got to revamp this education system, and I mean yesterday, or we are really, it'll be the Hitler Youth within 2 years.
Here's something that disturbs me, and I've got, I'm telling you, this is something that really encouraged me, having been involved at the ground level with the Ron Paul campaign and the Campaign for Liberty in the 2008 election cycle and in this election cycle. The largest demographic, the largest segment that Ron Paul appealed to is the young people, college students, high school students, students that weren't old enough to vote. And the reason that encourages me and gives me some sense of, you know, I want to shout hallelujah, okay, is the fact that those kids, in spite of the indoctrination centers that we have set up, there is something inherent in them that they know that something is not right. They know that these people are lying to them. There's something about they don't trust anyone over 30. And here's this 80-plus-year-old man up there telling them the truth. And when they hear the truth, when the truth falls on their ears, they stand up and cheer and they embrace it. They get it.
Yep. I got 740-742. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, who's this?
This is Tony in Ohio.
Oh, good. Welcome.
Tony, welcome.
I was just flipping through the on-air shows here, and I'm noticing, because I haven't been on Blog Talk for months, and I used to do a show here on individualist free market anarchism. And I'm, like, looking through it, I'm seeing there's a show from Voluntarists. There's your show. There's a bunch of shows on right now that are about the Liberty Movement, and I'm totally surprised and taken aback that we've expanded that much.
Are you kidding me? Dude, I am stoked. I had on my show on Monday, well, actually Sunday, that I was going to vote for Obama, and the reason I was going to vote for Obama is exactly the outcome of this election.
I did vote for Obama for that exact reason.
Yep.
For strategy.
This country needs 4 more years of the liberal, progressive, neocon progressive ideology to motivate them to get off their butts and kick this government to the curb where it belongs and tell their neighbor, get your hand out of my pocket before I jack slap you into next week.
Go ahead, guys. I'm sorry.
Ron, really, I hate to interrupt you, and Tony, I'm just going to be a short time here because I want your voice to be heard. But does anybody here really believe, after all of the research that, you know, we have done individually, does anybody believe this is going to last another 4 years?
I don't know if it will or not.
You don't? Ron, really?
I don't know, Michael. I really don't, because I don't have that much faith in the American people. I don't think that even a minority, and I said this earlier, I don't believe that even a minority of the people in this country have the cojones, the wherewithal, the courage to stand up and say, I've had enough.
I mean, look what has happened over the last 4 years, okay?
Where was the Tea Party these last 2 years?
I have no idea, okay? I don't know, to be honest with you. And I don't care any more than I care about Democrats or Republicans, okay?
Well, what we thought was happening with the Tea Party was that they were on the ground working, but there was so few of them, apparently. And when you have
that
many...
They got co-opted into the GOP good old boy bullcrap, and a whole bunch of them got disenfranchised right down in Tampa at the Republican National Convention.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Sorry, Tony. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
That's all right. I was just going to say that the reason I voted for Obama, and when I say for, I mean that loosely. I really didn't vote for Obama. I voted
in favor
for my movement. I voted for my movement. And the reason is because there's only 2 viable candidates. We all knew that none of the third-party candidates were going to get the press enough to win. You know what I mean? So the way I looked at it was I'm in Ohio, so it was like this is a pretty important state, and it was really close. Otherwise, I wouldn't even have voted. I wouldn't have cared. But I have to vote in self-defense. That's the only reason I do vote. I never vote offensively, you know? So I was like, well, I better vote for the movement. And the way I figured it was game theory mathematics. If Romney wins, we're looking at 8 to 12 years that we will not have the Liberty Movement on a national campaign, recognize and think to educate and convert people. Whereas if he loses, we get 4 years from now, we get another Liberty candidate or two or whatever in the Republican primary, and we can educate and convert. It's not about winning to me. I don't care about winning elections as much as I care about convincing people. This might not happen in my lifetime, but at least we can double our numbers every 4 years, you know?
There is a thinking man right there, Tony. You got your thinking cap on, because it's about winning hearts and minds, plain and simple. Because if you can't change the thought process, the ideology of the average American citizen, you're screwed. You're going to have Obama on steroids.
Yep.
We have
people. Also, the Romney people, you know, if they won, they would have went to sleep for 4 years at least.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's what I was saying. The perception would be, oh, yay, it's all better now.
They go along with whatever the president does. You know what I mean? Like, look at what Bush was doing. There was nothing free market about stuff he did. There was nothing, you know, small government about what he did. And yet they went along with it. They held water for him on every radio station, every television, and every person you talk to who's a Republican to this day acts like that guy is a deity or something.
Name me the last small government president.
Good luck.
Coolidge.
Jefferson?
No, I would say maybe Jackson.
Yeah.
Not Andrew, but the one that took over after Lincoln was assassinated, and they impeached him. Johnson. Yeah. Impeached him. Yeah.
Wow.
And why did they impeach him? Because he went against their stupid civil rights crap. And
he fired somebody in the cabinet.
Garbage. Well, because
he did his job.
Right. He was against all the Reconstruction garbage and the unconstitutional crap that they were shoving up the American citizens' tailpipe after the end of the Civil War.
Yep. Wow. Go ahead, Michael. Say, what were you going to say before?
I don't mean to be argumentative, and if I ever sound like that to anybody,
Michael,
and,
just say what's on your mind, brother.
Well, I feel guilty sometimes, you know.
You shouldn't.
Something Tony said just struck me. He said we have two viable candidates.
Boy, he's right.
I don't get that. It hits me like a sledgehammer.
Well, it should.
I just mean the media makes them viable. Like, they only allow two candidates to have a chance to
right.
win based on
Correct.
Coverage and funding. It's not, to me, it's not, I don't mean viable. And I wanted Gary Johnson to win once Ron Paul was out, but I knew it wasn't going to happen. You know what I mean? So
right.
that's the way. And really, if I could have my way, I'd eliminate the presidency, the Congress, and privatize the courts. You know, I'm a voluntarist. I'm not somebody who believes in the state to begin with. So for me, it's
right.
kind of a compromise of my principles to participate in an election to begin with.
Well,
absolutely.
You and I could have a good conversation because I'm not far from your ideology. I'm really not. I see government much like Jefferson did. A necessary evil, but I'm not certainly convinced that it's absolutely necessary, quite honestly.
Benjamin Tucker, the individualist anarchist from the United States back in the 19th century, said it best. He said that if government's a necessary evil, then we surely need to make it unnecessary.
Yeah.
Does the state spend on that? How much money has been spent on trying to make itself unnecessary? I bet you zero.
Oh, I can guarantee you zero. I was a registered lobbyist here in Georgia, and we had a state representative from Cobb County who was the only sane, decent man I ever met at our state capitol. And I sat in on a committee hearing, and, you know, they go one by one around the table, all the committee members, and ask questions. And as they went around and they got to him, his name was Bobby Franklin. God rest his soul. He passed away last 2 years ago now. Bobby looked right at the guy that was bringing this bill to committee, and he said, "Sir, our state constitution says that our whole purpose for being here is to promote the liberty and property and well-being of our constituents. So my questions to you are, what part of your bill accomplishes that goal, and how does it accomplish it?" Well, you could have heard a pin drop in that room at that moment. Because
cool.
it didn't do that. It no way, shape, or form. It was all about diminishing the right to property of everyone.
This is what I fear, and that's what's going on with the Agenda 21 and, of course, the ideology of the left, which would include Zero, Jarrett, and Soros, and Hildebeest. They do not want us to have private property. I would bet you that the gun sales went through the roof today.
Oh, they're gone. They are absolutely gone. I'm
off
here
the shelves.
You know, ammo in a week, I'm telling you, if you want to buy ammo, you better go get it now, because in a week's time, you won't be able to buy a damn piece of gunpowder. You won't be able to buy a book of matches, I'm bet.
What cracks me up is they really think, the left really thinks they can get rid of guns. I mean, we're not an island like England. Like, they
right.
can't even keep drugs out of prison, but they think they're going to keep
you.
Guns
Thank
out of
you.
Our hands? Really?
Thank you. God, I don't know how many times I've used that analogy.
Wow. That's funny.
You got a maximum security prison under 24-hour armed guard, and you can't keep drugs out of it, but you think you're going to keep them out of society. This is, I mean, it's an act in futility, and why people can't see this, because they have some deeply ingrained moral objection to someone else doing something that they themselves don't approve of doing. Why do you care what your neighbor does? Why do you really care? If your neighbor's not out molesting one of your children or trying to break into your home,
right?
You know, I'm like Thomas Jefferson. It neither picks my pocket nor breaks my bone.
Nor breaks my leg. Yeah, there
and
you
look,
go, buddy.
If you want to jump on the Rocket Express straight to hell, go for it, dude. I'm all for it. You know, sorry, see you, bye, have a nice ride.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I just, I can't take my Christian beliefs and use that to impose my understanding of what's right and moral on someone else, because I know that by my own standards, I don't live a right and moral life and never will.
Exactly.
To me, there's one thing that's ultimately probably the only really immoral thing in this world, and that is when you force people to do things against their will when they have not yet forced someone to do something against their will.
Sure.
Right. It's for no reason.
About
trespass, you know? When if you're a Christian, okay, and you've read your Bible, all right, I want to give you a summation of the whole ideology in one prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those that trespass against me." In other words, for everything that I've ever done wrong, Lord, the way that I've judged my neighbor and everyone else that I have envisioned has trespassed on me, use my level of judgment that I used against them, use that on me for my trespasses against you. Do unto others.
That's a great point. Ron, and, you know, we're not going to change this government, okay? We can only replace it. It's not changeable, Ron.
Can I tell you what the right-wing ultra-conservatives need to figure out, okay? You're not going to change immorality by legislation.
No.
You're not going to change people that have been dumbed down by fluoride for 40, 50 years like they did in the prison camps in World War I and World War II, and made them stupid so that they wouldn't escape. You know, they've been doing this to millions, hundreds of millions of people in the United States. Okay? You're not going to change those people. They have no brains left.
Look, the Creator was smart enough to know that there was no salvation for His creation, for man, except that which He is going to grant. We can't do it on our own, guys. We're not going to save ourselves, no matter how hard we try.
It's a good thing, Ron, that we don't need... Okay, that people don't need brains to become saved through Christ.
Yes,
okay,
you're
all you need is
right.
Love. All you need is love. It's a good thing you don't need brains. That's all I have to say on that.
Man, I hear a Beatles song in the background. All you need is love.
This probably might not be the forum for this particular comment. So if it isn't, then you guys can just tell me. You know, that's
you're
not
fine,
probably
man.
A topic we want to debate, but. I would say it's probably a dangerous idea to think about replacing a system of violence with another system of violence when you know it's just going to grow again due to its life cycle into another huge, gigantic murder machine. I think it's probably a good idea to start thinking about an alternate path, perhaps market-oriented, where the coercively monopolized services that the current state holds over everyone, like law and roads and defense, actually be provided by the market, because just because you eliminate the monopoly does not mean the market demand goes away, and therefore it means the supply does not go away.
That is correct. I mean, someone's going to fill the bill, I promise you. Now, it's going to change the price structure, but that will equal out. You will find some equilibrium in there. And the biggest thing, and this is the point that I tried to drive home to everyone, you know, if we just get rid of all the crap arguments, the petty policy bullshit, and get down to brass tacks.
Ron.
If we put the power of money back in the control of the individual and take it away from government, all the other problems, all the other issues,
they'll go away.
They will solve themselves.
And look, even if they don't, like, this is another Benjamin Tucker quote. I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't know it exactly, but this is a beautiful sentiment. He said, never have anarchists said that anarchy will bring complete utopia. What we argue is that of virtues, liberty is the greater. Of evils, liberty is the lesser. So in all things, liberty, say the anarchists. So I'm not looking for a perfect solution. I'm looking for the best possible solution among
right.
imperfect choices.
Well, we live in an imperfect world, and there is no such thing as utopia
mm-hmm.
in this existence. There's just not. You can't get there from here. That,
right.
I think that I have said so many times, I personally believe that Marx got a bad rap. Marx was an anarchist, plain and simple.
He was an illogical anarchist, yes.
That is true. And the reason he was an illogical anarchist, in my humble opinion, is because he was relying on the philosophy of past philosophers like Hegel and Plato. And the only way that he could see clear, reach his envisioned utopia, was by first creating a government that was so massive and so
mm-hmm.
controlling and obtrusive that you could implement all of the things that were he thought was necessary.
That's a smart comment, really.
Yeah.
It is.
You mean the big government like the one we have now?
Right. And then, but the problem, and I think what Marx struggled with, and I think that's why he was, I've read his stuff. I think the guy was infinitely frustrated because he couldn't see a way to transition from A to B. How do you get rid of the government? Because the one thing he despised was the bourgeois class. Okay, and the bourgeois class was the government. It was the elite. That was his target. But the only way to get rid of them was to first build a government that was more powerful than the bourgeois class. And I think that's what he ultimately struggled with. Once you've created it, how do you get rid of it?
Exactly.
I always I always tell leftist anarchists that I talk to, and they love, because a lot of them love Marx, especially the ones that are fans of Noam Chomsky, and I say, it's illogical what Marx wanted. I mean, his goals were
correct.
Kind of admirable, but what he was after was, I want anarchy, and to achieve a stateless society, I need to create the world's most coercive state. And it's like, wait a minute.
Right.
It's like
it's an
cutting
oxymoron.
Your nose off to spite your face.
Sure.
So
it's an oxymoron.
I'm going to create the very thing I despise so
yeah.
I can get rid of it.
Yeah, cognitive dissonance. How do you describe his religious theology? What do you call him, a nihilist or an atheist, Marx?
Oh, he was clearly an atheist.
Yeah.
An atheist in the state sense. I don't think he was a true atheist, because like Stalinism and Leninism, there's a book, I can't remember, there's two books by the same title, and I think it's called The God That Failed, but one of them is written by Hoppe, and the one I'm talking about is not. And it talks about how communist regimes have always taken atheism and turned it into a religion where the God is government, because the answer to everything
right.
is government. So, I mean, in that way, they're not real atheists. A lot of atheists that I know that are real atheists despise the thing where people go, well, look what happened with the communist countries with atheism. And they go, yeah, but that's not really atheism, because they made that into a god. And that's not, we don't want to have faith in government. We want to have faith in science. There's a big difference. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and I truly, in the heart of the individual, I don't believe that there are honestly any true atheists. I think they're fooling themselves, and I think it's part of human nature to try and justify your belief system because it doesn't fit with your understanding of a creator. But
I'm a theist, and I used to be an atheist, so I tend to agree, but I don't know. There's some people I think that really do believe
I think they've convinced themselves. I think they have convinced themselves.
Oh,
okay?
I see what you're saying.
But the fact of the matter is, just because you tell yourself a lie often enough and you've convinced yourself that it's true, you know, come on, Tony, you know in your heart that there's something bigger than us.
I just figure with my somewhat simian brain that's barely evolved past monkeyhood really doesn't understand the universe. So I eventually reasoned that there's probably a force that created the universe, that there's probably
sure.
some conscious force. I don't know what it is. I don't pretend to. I don't know why, you know, there's a conflict between evolution and religion. I don't understand all that, but I do understand that the way I reasoned it out was that I used to be an atheist. I used to believe there was no God, but now I believe basically all the same things I did as an atheist, except one thing. I believe in a creator. That's the only difference in my belief system now.
Right. But see, that one of the fundamental problems that we run against, and I had this conversation, a very tenuous conversation with one of my customers. You used a term in there, your reason. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
How do you account for human reason? Human reason, we either have to decide that it's faulty or it is reliable. And how do we account for reason and the reliability of human reason? Where does that come from? There has to be a hard and fast set of principles or laws in all of creation that we're not able to circumvent. Okay? And that had to arrive from somewhere. Didn't happen by chance or circumstance. And that's using scientific logic or reasoning. But we have to understand, where did the scientific basis come from? It was always there.
Here's another controversial thing, since we're talking about religion. If I make this statement, what would you think? I think God is an anarchist.
That's quite possibly very accurate, I would have to say. I've often talked about the fact that if you follow the biblical story in Genesis, okay, in the beginning of creation, there was one rule, one commandment, one, and we couldn't keep that. Why should we begin to even fool ourselves into believing that we can keep more than one?
The way I look at it is like, and I'll start with the human and work my way back to God real quick. It seems like if you're a libertarian, right, or you're an anarchist, you're a voluntarist, whatever you want to call yourself, you believe in a objective morality based upon the assumption of self-ownership, of what's called individual sovereignty. Once you agree with someone on individual sovereignty, there is an objective morality. There's no objective morality until you agree on that, but once you do, there's an objective morality. We then set forth rules for ourselves. They're very simple. You're not allowed to harm or defraud anyone. Those are the only rules. And it seems to me that we could break those rules, but we choose not to. And I think that's kind of how God operates. He set forth the laws of physics, and he could intervene in the world. He could violate the laws of physics and create all kinds of, you know, magic tricks to make things perfect. But he chooses not to, because if he does, then there is no free will. You can't have both.
Well, you know, I had a great little debate with a guy named Vincent Bugliosi here on Blog Talk on another show. And Vincent Bugliosi, he was the guy that prosecuted the Manson trial. And he also wrote a book, The Case Against Free Will. And he said he says there is no God and there's no free will in the Bible. And I found it was a very interesting little debate. And he had me at a disadvantage because I hadn't read his book. But there's a lot of truth, I think, in what you're saying. There is free will. But even that, were it not for God, wouldn't have the possibility of free will. And I think for me, it comes down to the end that we can either accept or deny personal responsibility for our own existence and how we interact with our fellow human beings. And in the end, when you're dead in this life, it will matter to you. You may not believe that there is an ultimate judgment, but when you're sitting before the ultimate judge, it doesn't matter if you believe he's there or not, or God is there or not. It won't matter.
The way I look at it is, I'm sorry, go ahead, you go first.
Okay, I just want 2 minutes and then I'm going to be done because we got like 8 minutes or something left. You know, God has his priorities for those that are part of his family, for those that love him, for those whose spirit lives within each of us, okay? Those priorities are the worshiping, the loving of God, and recognition of what he has done for us on this earth, in the universe, okay? And the priorities are God is first, okay? Your spouse is second, okay? Your children is third, okay? Your family, your friends, and it goes right down the line, okay? And whatever you do with God, if you believe in God, if you do not put him first and give him the praise and worship that he deserves, okay, you're not going to get very far, I'll tell you right now, okay? Because he is the creator, the Almighty. Amen.
Thank you, Michael. I've got 4 minutes and maybe 20 seconds. Tony, I'm so glad you joined us, and I want to welcome you to all of our shows. We've got Sunday and Monday with the gentleman, Ron, that you were speaking to. He has Constitution Hour and the Fed Up Frank Show, so you can kind of look through that on Blog Talk Radio on the Monday and Sundays. And Tuesday is Patriot Family Chat. And we have my shows on Wednesdays. I hope I'll feel better next week and I'll make a longer show. And Thursday, you must join Terry Rowland there. Her Patriot education is incredible. And, of course, Michael Magic sometimes on Saturdays, if he's up to it and doing that sort of thing. We have some great Patriots here. And would you like, Tony, would you like to say one parting words?
I would just like to say the smile that's ear to ear on my face hearing all these shows that you're naming that are involved in our movement. And it's like I left here in April, I think,
wow,
this year, and came back just yesterday when the election was over, and it's like I can't believe how many of us are on here now. And it's just I was alone. There was nobody else here. I had a show called Pro Individual. You can look up Tony in Ohio. You know, it's all one word, but just the T, the I, and the O capitalized, and you can find my archives.
Cool.
And it's like this is really cool. So I'm glad to talk to you guys. Thank you for taking my call, and it was
absolutely
great seeing all three
God
of you.
God bless.
You too. Bye.
Hey, welcome aboard, Tony, and I hope you you'd stop by Patriot Families. That's Patriot Families with a YS, and join up, stop by, and participate in more of the shows. I really enjoyed your input tonight, and you know, just on the last topic we were discussing, you know, I put into the chat room that I tend to look at God and my relationship with God like I do with my own children. And I think, I truly believe that that's why God gave us the ability to procreate, so that we could get some small understanding of the love that he has for us. And I love my children, each and every one of them, and I see them as possessions. They belong to me. And yet at the same time, I recognize that they are each one an individual. And I have to give them freedom. I cannot just keep them captive and hold them all to myself. They would never, ever be the men and women that they are today if I did that. It's kind of
right,
like that old saying, if you love something, set it free, and if it comes back to you, you know?
And thanks, Ron, for helping me today, because I was kind of miserable.
Well, I hope you get feeling better, my dear.
I will. And thank you, Tony, and I want to thank Bill, Ron, Tony, Terry Rowland, FT, Michael Magic. That was great. I'm going to do a little funny song here because we need an uplifting funny song right now. And I want to say thank you, guys, and join us tomorrow for Terry's show. Love you guys, and be blessed. Let me check this. Get it to work.
Buy a fridge for college? Get an ice tray. Or
they made a huge miscalculation.
Unlock the deal at Windows.com.
About the mood of our nation. Good working people done got tired of being wrong. Then they saw one of their own get mistreated and done. don't. They said we're standing behind him. He's not alone.
Some poo on your pants leg.